listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We want to welcome Towns Hair Shop and Southwest Goods to the KNKT family of program sponsors. Towns Hair Shop Service and Southwest Goods, located just west of 11th on Central, 1115 Central Avenue Northwest. You can schedule an appointment by calling 433-5861 or log into their website at townshop.co. Book your next haircut appointment at Towns Hair Shop. We want to welcome in Chase Wixon. He is the foster parent recruiting manager for the Bear Foundation. You have a special month going on right now, don't you, Chase?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a National Adoption Awareness Month, and so we're, as an organization, we're really out there trying to plug the message of helping those kids in need. So it is a very, very big month for us.
Chase, last time you were on, which was literally exactly a month ago, you were on here on the 5th of October, you shared with us that the need for foster parents is just really, really large. And you obviously have a lot of people that are responding to the call, but you need more. Tell us about the Bear Foundation and what you do.
Well, we're a treatment and foster care program. So the type of kids that we help and assist in their healing are ones that have been victims of trauma. You can take a look at, victims of physical abuse, sexual abuse, kids that are extremely neglected. I mean, we've had children come into our care that think that eating out of a trash can is a normal everyday activity because that's what they had to do to survive. We've had kids that were so neglected that, they're 9, 10 years old, but they don't know how to read. So we really, specifically deal with those kids that have that severe trauma and really need that extra piece of assistance and help to heal.
So you're the foster parent recruiting manager. How do you recruit people?
It's not a big marketing budget. It's not like we're out there, running commercials and posting big billboards all over the place and things of that nature. Really, it's just trying to get out in the community. I mean, obviously your radio show has plugged some commercials for us that we were able to purchase, but really it's grassroots. It's getting out in the churches and talking to people. It's setting up tables at community events, but with how things are with COVID going on, it's definitely stunted our efforts of outreach. So we're really just focusing on social media. We have a Facebook page. It's Bear Foundation of New Mexico. If you look us up, we're constantly running little ads on there and promoting our orientation times for people who have questions or might be interested. So just a lot of, pounding the pavement and a lot of grassroots type of stuff.
What I might ask you, Chase, is just in a kind of a summary way, tell us how adoption works, because I think there might be a lot of people that are interested in helping these kinds of children, people that have really been traumatized and they may feel gifted to care for and so forth, but they might at the same time think they might not be able to afford it somehow.
Well, that's kind of a common misconception. And what I'll first say is our specific Bear Foundation location here in Albuquerque and also down in Las Cruces, we're treatment foster care. So we don't actually have the power to facilitate the adoption. However, the state of New Mexico, if a child is free for adoption, we'll work with our parents in the program to find that pathway to allow them to get to that place where they're comfortable adopting. Mm-hmm. I know that the state of New Mexico offers subsidies for adoptive parents to help them with the cost. They even at times will provide a lawyer that's free of charge, so that you can kind of draw up the papers and make sure that you're getting a stipend to help support you when you are going through that adoption. We've actually had a couple of families that had kids come into their home, They were there for a year and a half, couple of years, and it certainly God put into their heart that, you know what, we're gonna keep these kids. We're gonna adopt them. And they went through the process and received the assistance from the state, and those kids are doing well now, and it's a beautiful sight to see for sure.
Yeah, well, and I'm gonna have you share some more stories about that, but as our listeners are hearing you speak right now, they may think, hey, I'd be interested in getting more information. How do they get in touch with you, Chase?
Well, using our Facebook site, that's Bear Foundation of New Mexico. They can certainly send a message through that, and I'm constantly, checking that and touching base with people. They can call me at the office. I'm there usually, two, 3 days a week. With COVID, our office structure has certainly changed, so I'm in and out of the office, but they can call me at 505-888-1362 and they can ask for me. And if I'm not there, leave a message and I'll definitely get back in touch with you. And then they can also, email me at, my work email address, and that's cwixon, that's W-I-X-O-N, at bear.org, and that's B-A-I-R.org.
Yeah. Fantastic. Pretty simple to get in touch with you. Chase, I want to appeal to people that might be listening that are part of a church leadership. They may be elders. They may be running the women's ministry. They may have an interest in having you make a presentation to their church. Are you available to do that type of thing as well?
Absolutely. I want to make sure that, we're keeping it within all the state guidelines and whatnot when we're coming out and doing that. But we're always open to coming out and speaking, if that's in person, if that's virtual. I've done Zoom calls. I've done calls on Microsoft Teams. We really just, it's getting that message out there. And it's like, if it's not something that may be on your heart, it could be on somebody else's that you know. And you could say, hey, I just listened to Jim on the radio and there was this guy. And really that word of mouth. So just getting the message out there is extremely important. We have a specific day. It's called Orphan Sunday, and that's coming up here this Sunday. And usually on Orphan Sunday, we would try to blanket as many churches as we could to get that message out. But unfortunately, obviously, like I said, with some of the restrictions, sending our workers out isn't probably the right thing to do right now in terms of safety for everyone. But We definitely, are just trying to spread the word as much as possible. So women's groups, men's groups, smaller congregations that feel comfortable having a guest speaker, any type of small groups, even like a small group that you might be hosting, in your home or online, I'm willing to hop on for 10, 15 minutes and talk about it, because it's such an important message, because it's such a underserved type of mission, and ministry. And so, I open myself up to any available times to get the word out.
Chase, where are kids right now that have not been placed in a foster home? Where do they stay?
A lot of them are in shelters. They're in homeless shelters. Some of them are, living in domestic violence shelters. We have several organizations here in Albuquerque that certainly try to take care of those kiddos, but there's just far too many out there. And some of them, they experience homelessness, and they're not, in the shelters. They're not in any of the specific group homes that are out there. We want to be able to get the word out and get the help that these kids need so that they stand a chance. Because the deck is really stacked up against them just being in foster care. And, there's this message that we share with our families that it only takes one caring adult to make that difference for that kid. One caring adult, and every child deserves a safe place to call home. And so, it's something that we really feel in our hearts that's so important, in terms of spreading that message.
I'm going to play off of what you just said, one caring adult. I had in my mind as you were talking that this was couples that would take a foster child in, but it could be even a single individual.
Absolutely. We have many parents that are single parents. Some of them still have their own kids in the home. And, you know, they're able to take a kid on, and we're happy to be able to, have those people as part of our organization. You know, many of our families are couples, you know, and you don't have to be young to do this. A lot of people think they have to be 30 or 40 years old to do treatment foster care. And that's definitely not the case. A lot of our families are empty nesters as well. You know, they're active, parents that their kids have gone off to college and they enjoy having kids in their home and want to make that difference and be that light for that kid. And so we get those, as well that come in. But, you know, we're willing to vet anybody that's interested in doing this because we sorely need those homes.
Yeah, the need is just tremendous. We are on the phone this afternoon with Chase Wixon. He is the foster parent recruiting manager for the Bear Foundation. That's B-A-I-R. You can go to their Facebook page, which is Bear Foundation of New Mexico, and make contact, reach out to Chase through the messaging there. You can also give them a call locally in Albuquerque at 505-888-1362. A lot of people from Albuquerque are connected to Las Cruces because of the universities and other things down there. And you also have a location down in Las Cruces, right?
Absolutely, yeah. We have a location down there, and they're in the same boat. You know, they need families. They have lots of, you know, referrals on kids coming in saying, hey, this kid needs a home, needs a safe place to call home. And, you know, we're in a position to where we have to turn kids down. You know, we can't place kids in our program because we don't have the home. So, it's, like I said, it's an overwhelming need. And you know, as much as we can get that message out there and get people involved, you know, certainly we were started as a Christian organization. And, I want to note that, you know, you don't have to be Christian in order to be a parent in our organization. You know, yeah, we certainly, you know, enjoy that aspect of it. And it's one of the things that, our foundation was built on. But, I want to make sure that everybody knows that, if you're a good home and you're a good family, you know, we want you.
Chase, I get the feeling that when you take in a child, that it does as much for you as it does for the child. And we're going to talk about that more when we come back. Chase Wixon, foster parent recruiting manager for the Bear Foundation, on the phone with us this afternoon. We'll be right back.
This is a Fresh Thought. Listen up to Levi Lesko.
You see, Uzzah had adopted a sort of religious formality, and his reaction to put his hand out to take care of God. Oh, I got this, God. His sort of, I don't need to obey how you've told me to approach you. I don't need to do the things you've called me to. It's enough that I've brought you along for the journey. You should be very happy for that. Oh, God, look what a nice little cart I got you to ride on. You may fit into this hour of my Sunday. What about the rest of the week? I get to do whatever I want. But God, how nice of me to allow you to be here for this moment, for this hour. You see, he heard the same music that everybody else heard, but there was no dancing inside of Uzzah's soul. And that's because he was outwardly formal, going through the motions, but there was no reality on the inside.
For more Fresh Thoughts, go to levilesko.com.
Listen, as Skip Heitzig applies Bible truth to our world in this hotspot.
I am intrigued by that verse because I think this verse could be said about many pulpits.
Many pulpits.
Even in our own country. The Word of God was rare. There was no widespread revelation.
This is the issue.
The issue.
Sad, but true.
Most contemporary preaching is marked by a lack of confidence in Scripture. Scripture isn't preached. It's not, thus says the Lord, here's the word of the Lord. I think that the modern church has become more fascinated with technology rather than theology.
Find more from Skip at connectwithskip.com.
Connectwithskip.com. And I think we need to get back to good theological through the Bible, doctrinal preaching to strengthen believers, especially in this day and age.
Grow in your faith with Skip's reading plans. Search for Skip Heitzig in the YouVersion Bible app.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Chase Wixon with the Bear Foundation on the phone with us this afternoon. Chase, right before the break, I said that I bet this does as much for the parents that are fostering a child as it does for the child themselves. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I work with all of our parents, you know, doing a lot of the trainings and ongoing trainings for when they're licensed and then obviously before they're licensed, I train them up before we get them licensed. And the reoccurring theme is when they come back and share their stories and talk about the experiences that they've had is that the profound effect and impact that child has had on them, how that child, you know, the way that they see the world, because of the things that they've been through, has had this immense impact on they constantly talk about, you know, the levels of how it changed their family, being able, a lot of our parents again are practicing Christians, and the impact that it's had to see how, you know, children in their home come to accept Christ, it's an amazing experience for our parents just as much as it is for the children.
Share with us, if you would, some stories about, you know, maybe two or three kids that have been fostered, gone through your program. They, of course, are in your program because you're a treatment foster care program. They had some trauma at some point in their lives. Share with us some victories, if you would.
One of the main stories that I like to share, and again, I can't give names because of confidentiality and all of that, but I had a family, and it was a couple that I think were definitely not going to be having any more kids, and were empty nesters, and they were doing the treatment foster care program, and we're really enjoying, you know, being able to make that impact on some kids' lives, and they got a set of brothers in their home, younger. They were, I think, maybe 4 or 5 when they entered treatment foster care. And, they spent a couple of years there working through their treatment, working through some of the trauma and working through that healing process, as we like to talk about it. And they found out that, these two brothers also had a sister that was in foster care. And then she came into their home. They describe it as sort of, you know, God really just spoke to them and opened their heart to the idea of taking these kids in. And sooner rather than later, they were going through the adoption process. And it did take them quite a while. It was, I think, a year and a half process, to finally get through the entire adoption. But, now they're a family of 5, as opposed to a couple of empty nesters. And it was a pretty amazing story. And we still see those parents. The parents are still with us. They still have other kids that come into their home. But they also have 3, you know, children that they adopted through our program. So it was it's a pretty amazing story. And the impact that they had on these kids is infinite.
Chase, do you hear back from children that, may now be in their 20s or even 30s that have been through your program?
We do occasionally, get some letters and get some visitors from time to time of kids that have come through our doors and been with our families. Our families certainly are the ones that are hearing from these kids on a more regular basis. And I know that some of our parents have shared, you know, stories of phone calls or visits or even, you know, invitations to high school graduations or invitations to weddings or what have you, that these kids, I mean, these parents, even though a lot of our care is on the shorter term, you know, 1 to 2 years, the impact is so great that they become a part of that kid's extended family for the rest of their lives. So yeah, absolutely. You know, we relish in the fact that, you know, the impact, and I always tell our parents, you know, we work in a very small window of time, and our parents have a very difficult job of making a lifelong lasting impact in that short window of time. But they do it, and we see it, you know, in the stories that our parents share. So it's pretty amazing.
Can you describe for us the type of person that you're looking for that would be an effective foster parent?
Yeah, I mean, we accept, you know, a variety of different individuals. You don't have to be any one specific way. And like I mentioned before the break, you don't have to be a Christian in order to do it. You don't have to be a single parent or a two-parent home. We want people that have open hearts, that treat this as, you know, a way to give back, a way to help children, patient individuals, because these kids have gone through trauma, so sometimes they have some difficult behaviors that they have to work through, you know, so a lot of patience is needed, understanding that this kid has been in a situation where he didn't get a choice in anything. He was obviously in a home that had that type of abuse or neglect, was removed from that home, was placed with a family that he didn't choose. And so having that understanding that this kid, you know, is going to go through a lot of transition, is an extremely important attribute that I constantly preach to our parents, because, you know, you can have a great house and it's nice and you have extra room and an extra bed and all of that, and that's all great, but you really have to have those attributes of understanding and patience and love. I mean, you got to wrap these kids up in love, because, you know, we see, you know, these kids that go into some foster homes and the foster parent treats these kids differently than their own and doesn't accept them as a member of the household. They're just kind of there, and those aren't successful, and we want parents that take those kids in and treat them like they would their own kids. And so, you know, somebody that has that kind of open heart and is willing to really, you know, do that is the individual or individuals that we're looking for.
Yeah. Chase, what's the process? So if somebody's interested in becoming a foster parent with your organization, what's kind of the process that you take them through?
Well, you know, I definitely want to answer any questions for them beforehand, because we always get those what-if scenarios, you know, and I want to make sure that I put them at ease that they indeed can do this. So orientation is really the best place to start. And they attend that orientation, they get their questions answered, and then, you know, I take them on the journey to licensure, which includes, you know, going through a background check process. And a lot of people will ask, you know, well, I have a background check through school or through work. Can I use that? And the answer is no, we have to do our own through the state. So I take them through the background check process, and then I start the training curriculum, and we are doing a lot of virtual trainings now, but we go through, the entire training curriculum, and it's about 40 to 45 hours of training, and I break it up however we kind of need to make sure that I'm working with their schedules. And then after we get done with that, you know, there's a little bit of paperwork that we have to do, which is never fun, but it's, you know, part of the deal. And then we assign a home study person to go into that home and do a home study. And that requires, you know, some opening up by the parents. They're opening up to their home to somebody that comes in and inspects it and does interviews and gets references and things of that nature. And then once the home study is approved, then we submit to the state a request for licensure and license that parent. So this process can be done in as little as maybe 45 to 60 days from beginning to end, depending on obviously the availability of that person. But, you know, I have some individuals that kind of spread it out, and I've had people take as long as 5 or 6 months from attending orientation to the time that they're licensed. So, you know, it's one of those things to where we don't want to push your comfort level. We want you to feel at ease with the process and ask a lot of questions and know exactly what you're doing and getting into before you take those next steps.
I would imagine, as you're describing all of this, that it's more difficult to place siblings together than individual children.
It certainly can be. You know, siblings, obviously, they take in the trauma that they've experienced differently. Just because you're in the same home doesn't mean that you experience the same thing. I always kind of, when I'm training, I always tell people, you know, when I'm watching a scary movie, I'm laughing at it while my wife is, you know, grabbing onto my arm with all of her might. And so we certainly have that experience differently. And so these kids that come in, they experience the trauma differently. A lot of times we see an older sibling become the caretaker for that younger sibling. And so when they come into care, they're very protective and parentified. That younger sibling is afraid to ask the parents for anything. So they'll ask their older brother or sister for it first, because trust has been broken with adults. And so we do find that, that when we place siblings together, they are more successful, but it's also harder to find someone that has that level of patience and love and understanding to be able to take care of two completely different individuals, with their own sets of issues and challenges. So absolutely, you're right on target, Jim.
I guess I got to just target people in my age group. I'm 62, retired as a banker, and I'm on the radio because I not only enjoy it, but it's being part of the ministry, and I didn't want to retire. But I get the sense that there's people my age that may be retired, and they look for, what does God have for me now? And this would be an absolutely amazing, very productive, needed ministry for anybody in my age group.
Yeah, that's again, right on the head. A lot of our parents are empty nesters in their 50s or 60s. They're retired. They want to be able to give back. They want to involve themselves in a ministry. And this acts as that for them. You know, they bring kids into their home and you know, start that healing process and work with these kids on their trauma. And, you know, I always joke around with some of our empty nesters, and they're like, well, this is what keeps me young. That's what they tell me.
Yeah.
It keeps them young. It keeps them active. They, you know, think about the fact that, you know, they're like, I didn't think I'd be out here throwing a football with a 8-year-old when I was 65, but you know, here I am. And it's one of the best experiences I've ever had. He said the last time I got to throw a ball with a kid was when my kids were younger. And that was when I was, you know, in my mid-30s or mid-40s. And so they talk about the fact that, they get to turn the clocks back a little bit and do that. And so, It is an amazing experience, again, for your age demographic, but also for mine. In, you know, I'm 37, and we have a lot of parents that are in that age range as well, in their mid-30s to mid-40s doing this. So I definitely want people to understand that we're very inclusive, and we're willing to take anyone through that process if this is on their heart.
Chase, I really love you telling us about throwing a football with an 8-year-old. I miss that terribly. I have 5 children, all grown up, as I mentioned earlier, and I miss those times. I miss going and watching my daughters dance in ballet. I miss going and watching them in cheerleading practice. I miss watching my boys, you know, play basketball from the time they were, you know, 5 years old, playing on a basket that was 8 feet high, to, you know, being a high school state champion. And that's something that you can do as a foster parent with these children.
Absolutely. Actually, one of our elements of our program is that we want our parents to get these kids involved in social activities. You know, with how it is now, obviously, those are a little bit more restricted, but we want to give these kids access to things that they never got to experience. So it is something that, we want our kids involved in that.
Chase, thanks for joining us today on ABQ Connect.
Thank you, Jim.
Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling. Locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.